It seems a universal experience for Christians everywhere that at some point in our church lives we get that awkward sermon about evangelism. Some missionary or young evangelist comes in and he comes to our church and he shares all these great stories of amazing conversions and witnessing and the great things that God has done out on the mission field. And he gives us that passionate call from Scripture that we should all grow in our evangelism. And it's great, it's wonderful for us to hear this kind of stuff. But we inevitably get to that bit where he starts pushing the guilt buttons on us. We start getting uncomfortable as he asks questions like, how much are we evangelizing? We need to do it more. The church is so weak in its evangelism today. We start getting a bit hot under the collar. And as the message goes on, we feel embarrassed about it and start feeling guilted into evangelism. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes there's something good about that. We know we should do evangelism and that God wants us to do evangelism, and maybe we are guilty of neglecting it sometimes. But we just struggle with evangelism, don't we, at times? Evangelism can be awkward. We have these friends, non-Christian friends, and we think, how do I bring the gospel into this relationship? How do I raise that awkward topic of eternal destiny? It's easy to have a light conversation, but how do we get to talking about eternal things? Maybe in your case, as it was for me in high school, you might feel a bit embarrassed about evangelism. In high school with my friends, I know that every time that Christianity or Jesus came up as topics, I'd get really tense and I just hope the conversation would steer in a different direction. I wouldn't have to feel so uncomfortable about it. And sometimes we can be like that in the workplace. We can just, for some reason, we have that opportunity to speak and we just don't. But wherever we're at in our evangelism, there's something really important that we need to understand, and that is that evangelism is not about being guilted into it. It's not like there's a checklist for the Christian life. You know, I've gone to church this week, I'll tick that box. I've prayed enough this week, I'll tick that one. I've told someone about Jesus, you know, I'm done for the next week, I have to forget about it and I don't have to worry about it, you know. Now, we need to get our thinking about evangelism right. We need to get God's thoughts on it, God's vision for evangelism. And that is exactly what the book of Acts gives us. The passage we're looking at today, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, which introduces the book, gives us the basics for understanding God's vision for evangelism. See, in God's plan for evangelism, it's not us who are the central movers. It's not mainly about us evangelizing the world. And it's certainly not about us being motivated into it by guilt. Now, the first thing about evangelism is that Jesus is the one acting in evangelism. This passage shows us that evangelism is his thing. It's not like he said, go and disciple all the nations, and then he just leaves us to it. No, Jesus is acting in evangelism. And that's the first thing I want to say this evening. Jesus is acting in evangelism. We see it very clearly in verse 2. Looking from verse 1, it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So we see right at the start that although the book is called the book, the Acts of the Apostles, it's actually about Jesus working through the apostles. My old pastor in Canberra, Peter Gadsby, likes to call this book the Acts of the Risen Christ. And what he means by this is, of course, that Jesus is the one who's acting in evangelism. It's not first and foremost about the apostles at all. Verses 4 and 5 also talk about the promise of the Spirit that Jesus has given. And so we see it's Jesus' initiative in this passage. And as John the Baptist had already said in the Gospels, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is doing the baptism. Jesus is acting in evangelism. And brothers and sisters, we need to realize today that nothing has changed. Jesus is acting in evangelism. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 says, "What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God gave the increase. God made it grow." See, Paul knew it. He experienced in his ministry that God was acting. Matthew 28 and verse 20 shows it as well. Jesus said, "I will be with you until the end of the age." So we need to realize that Jesus is with us. He is acting. And we know it from experience, don't we? Just stop and consider for a moment. Do you know the fact, if our theology is right, you know the fact that each of us sitting here today is proof that Jesus is still acting in evangelism? We can't come to him by ourselves. We need him to work in us. And that's why we're here. That's why we've been saved, because Jesus has worked in our hearts through the Spirit. So be encouraged in your evangelism. Jesus is with you. Another important thing we see is that Jesus acts through community. Now, I think one of the problems with evangelism today is that we have an overly individualistic kind of a outlook on it. It's true that we each do need to take our individual opportunities, but in the book of Acts, we see again and again, Jesus is acting through a community of believers before he's working through individuals. In Acts, we see that he works through the life of a praying, loving, worshipping community of his people. So evangelism is actually more of a corporate activity than an individual one. So when it comes to being guilted into evangelism, we don't need to all feel that we need to be Billy Grahams or great evangelists. That's okay, you know. We each have different gifts, abilities, and opportunities, of course. And we witness together as a community. We're different parts of one body. The foot doesn't try to be a hand. And the hand doesn't try to be a mouth. We work together in the Spirit to witness to Christ. So we've seen that Jesus is still acting today in evangelism. But maybe the most important thing in the whole book of Acts is to realize how Jesus acts today. And that's the second thing we're going to be looking at this evening. Jesus doesn't act in evangelism by walking into our churches and delivering a sermon each Sunday. He acts through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 2. It says he gave commandments to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 and 5 say it as well. He made sure that the apostles waited for the baptism of the Spirit. And verse 8, which is the pinnacle of this passage, says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." So the Holy Spirit is Jesus' chosen means of continuing to act. Jesus is acting in his people through the Spirit. So let's look at our original question again. When it comes to us and our role, if evangelism is not about being guilted into doing it, what is it about? It's about being empowered to witness by the Spirit. It's about being empowered to witness by the Spirit. See, evangelism, it's not driven by guilt. It's not driven by perfect technique. It's not driven by our one-on-one relationships. And these things can all have their place at different times. But the basic fact is that evangelism is driven by the Spirit. So when we're full of the Spirit, there's a life in us that we can't contain. In John 4 and verse 14, Jesus speaks about this life. It's like a fountain that flows up out of us. It spills out into our thoughts and out through our words and our actions. It's a life that flows out and washes us clean, frees us from guilt. It's the life of the gospel. My grandma, who I consider to be a very godly woman, someone who I love very much, she's just like this. It's kind of a description of who she is. When you spend time with her, it's like the life of the Spirit just flows out of her. Every conversation is just sprinkled with the grace of God and the love of Jesus. It doesn't matter who she's talking to. You can just see it there in her heart. It's not because she's on Christian patrol trying to make people feel guilty. It's just a joy that comes out of her. She spends time with him every day. And it shows. She's full of the Spirit. And as we grow in our faith, that's what life should increasingly be like. A life that's full and overflowing with the love of Christ. And of course, the Spirit is alive in us. He dwells in us, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says. He's the vital force that pushes us along in our Christian life. And as we're continually filled with the Spirit, we will grow in evangelism. Now you might be thinking, okay, this is all good stuff. Jesus is acting in his church, okay, yep, that's good. He's doing it through the Holy Spirit, okay, that's great. I know that's true. But what's missing? How do we fit into this? What are we actually supposed to do in evangelism? Well, we could say a lot about what we're supposed to do in evangelism. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says that we should always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. Matthew 9 and verse 38 talks about the importance of praying for the work of evangelism. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 talks about the importance of preaching. There are lots of important things that we have to do in evangelism. But I just want to put all of those things aside just for this evening. And I want to focus on the most basic thing that we need to do in evangelism. Most basic thing that we need to know. And that thing is this. Our evangelism is not first and foremost about our own efforts. It's about Jesus working through us. It's about God giving the increase. He uses our efforts to achieve his purposes. And that's the last point I want to make here. Evangelism is not mainly about us acting, it's about Jesus acting through us. Not us acting alone, but Jesus acting through us. Now, there are three things I want you to take away about Jesus acting through us. First thing, Jesus has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God. Each one of you has repented and believed in the gospel. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you right now. As you sit there in this pew, the Spirit is inside you. And as you go into your week and do the things you do, the Spirit of God is in you. Verse 5 talks about baptism with the Holy Spirit. And you might hear a lot of people today talking about the need to be baptized with the Spirit. And particularly in Pentecostal churches, you hear that kind of thing. But this verse isn't talking about some sort of second baptism. It's talking about Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. At Pentecost, Jesus baptized the church with his Holy Spirit. And that's something that we each have. We have the Spirit dwelling in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Romans 8 and verse 9 even says that if anyone does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. So you have the Spirit. That's the first thing. I want you to remember that because that's important for what comes next. The second thing I want you to take away is this. The main reason that Jesus gave us the Spirit is to empower us for witness. So we have the Spirit and we have him to empower us for witness. And that's what verse 8 tells us. And that's what Acts 2 and verse 41 says. And it shows when 3,000 people get converted after the Spirit is poured out. And again, what this means for us today is we don't need to rely on our best techniques for evangelism. We don't need to rely on our best outreach programs. We don't need to rely on the 50 copies of Two Ways to Live that we have in our back pocket. All of that is secondary. In evangelism, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. That's the most basic thing. We ask him for opportunity. We ask him to work in the hearts of people around us. We ask him to help us to understand his word. And we ask him to fill us with more. We ask God the Father to fill us with more of the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. That's a good verse to take away and meditate on. Prayer is the bread and butter of evangelism. So how much do we pray for evangelism? It's so important, isn't it? Elsewhere in Scripture, it says we have not because we ask not. And I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip. This is a guilt trip on me too. So let's pray for the opportunity. And let's pray that he would work in the hearts of those that we speak to. We might be surprised by what comes our way when we're praying for evangelism. So we see that we have the Spirit. We need to rely on him. But the third and final thing that we need to do is to rest in the fact that this is Jesus' show. We need to rest in Jesus. I can hear you saying in your mind, that's it, we just need to rest in a promise. How's that going to bring people in? How's that going to save anyone? And for all you theologians out there, you might be thinking, this is sounding a bit hyper-Calvinistic, isn't it? Well, I'm not saying that Jesus does the work and we just sit back and watch, but I am saying that because Jesus is the great evangelism, there is a sense in which we really should just rest in him. Rest in the knowledge that he is acting in evangelism. You see, it doesn't say in this passage that the apostles would baptize themselves. It says that Jesus would baptize them with the Spirit. It doesn't say they would try to be witnesses. It said, Jesus just said, you will be witnesses. But that's not a very pointy application. So in closing, I just want to try and narrow that in a bit, see what that looks like when the rubber hits the road. Resting in Jesus means not stressing when things aren't going your way in evangelism. When there aren't many people responding to the gospel as you share it with them, when there doesn't seem to be many enthusiastic people around, when you're trying your guts out to get the gospel out there and it doesn't seem to be making any difference, don't let it get you down. Don't stress about it. Just keep being faithful and realize that Jesus isn't asking you to convert anyone. He can't do that. He's got it under control. I'm not saying ignore real problems. We need to deal with our problems, our sins in evangelism. Sometimes there's a place for guilt when we drop the ball on this stuff. But if you're seeking to please Jesus and you just want to see his kingdom grow, then be encouraged in the knowledge that Jesus is accomplishing through you exactly what he wants to accomplish. So don't stress because things aren't going your way. Resting in Jesus also means don't be sucked into thinking that you need more than the gospel to get results. I think sometimes, perhaps as Christians, we get downhearted by the seeming lack of results in sharing the gospel. Prayers that don't seem to get answered, and we get tempted to rely on other things to try and get something happening. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's not good to try and improve your evangelism, but we must never forget that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. So when it seems like no one is listening, when it seems like you need to rely on extra gospel stuff to get your evangelism done, remember that 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 says that unless the Spirit of God is at work, people will think the gospel is foolish. See, in spite of the discouragement we might feel about the so-called decline of Christianity in Australia and in other places, just remember, none of that is going to stop what Jesus is doing. So resting in Jesus means hoping in the certainty that the gospel is changing the world. The gospel has changed the world, and the gospel is changing the world. The gospel will change the world. Because it's Jesus who's acting in evangelism, it's going to happen. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the oceans cover the sea. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Christ has set up a kingdom, and that kingdom will last forever, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. See, right here in Toowoomba, right now, we're a very small part of a very big plan. And that plan is all about Jesus. And ultimately, it's going to be accomplished by him. So we can look forward with the sure hope that he's promised us that his kingdom is going to expand and fill the earth. So just be faithful to him. Take the opportunities you have. So you live a life in the Spirit and hold fast to the promises that we read about here in Acts chapter 1. That Jesus is building his church. That Jesus is evangelizing this world through the church. And that as he does that through us in the power of the Spirit, the day is coming when the work will be complete. Amen. Let's pray together.